Good morning. On this Labor Day morning, 2010, I have the privilege of talking with Arthur Stamoulis. And Arthur is the director of Oregon Fair Trade Campaign, and he has some things to talk about with us that are definitely relevant on Labor Day. Good morning, Arthur.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm glad that you could make it. So one of the things I was hoping you would talk about is the, what you've been doing recently in terms of your position as director of Oregon Fair Trade.
Sure. Well, the Oregon Fair Trade Campaign is a statewide coalition of labor, environmental, human rights groups that work together on trade policy. We try to stop job-killing NAFTA-style trade agreements from being expanded and to promote a positive vision for international trade. And I think most listeners are probably aware of the effect that trade agreements like NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, and CAFTA, the Central America Free Trade Agreement, have had.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
You know, we're talking about literally tens of thousands of jobs shipped overseas right here in Oregon. If you look at Labor Department data, over just the past year alone, 10,902 Oregon jobs have been certified as lost to either offshoring, the company, you know, actually picking them up and moving them overseas, or displacement by imports. That's just in 1 year. So this is a big, big problem. And what we do is we try to educate people about this and combat it by getting our elected officials to support a new model for trade.
Well, there you go, getting the elected officials to support something new. How can you tell us how you're going to do that, or how you do that?
Well, I'll start with the positive, and then maybe we can move on to the negative. On the positive side, there's a bill in Congress now called the Trade Act. It's the Trade Reform, Accountability, Development, and Employment Act. It has over 140 co-sponsors in the House, additional co-sponsors in the Senate. On the House side, a strong majority of Democrats are already on the bill, majority of committee and subcommittee chairs. And here in Oregon, we have Congressman David Wu, Congressman Peter DeFazio, as well as Senator Jeff Merkley on the bill. This is a bill that really lays out a new model for trade. It requires review and renegotiation of many of our existing trade deals like NAFTA, the WTO. It establishes mandatory standards for what has to be and what can never be in any future trade agreement. And it also changes the trade policy making process, basically saying that fast track, the process that's been used to rush through trade deals in the past, that's dead forever. So this is a very, very strong bill.
Oh, yes.
And the fact that, you know, we do have so many members of Congress on it is encouraging. You know, that doesn't mean our work is done. There are large corporations continue to spend millions and millions of dollars pushing for an expansion of business as usual trade agreements. And that's one of the things we're fighting right now.
And would some of that would have to do with shipping the jobs overseas, where somebody is talking from perhaps in a different language, is answering questions, or is that not, that's not a part of what
we're
talking about?
Well, it is a part. I mean, we've seen here in Oregon, manufacturing jobs moved overseas, like the Freightliner truck plant jobs on Swan Island being moved to Mexico. But we've also seen service sector jobs move overseas, like the Dell call center in Roseburg, moving a number of jobs to El Salvador under CAFTA. So, you know, there are very few segments of the economy that aren't vulnerable to offshoring. I mean, we've seen reporters' jobs moved overseas, where, you know, people are saying, well, you can just watch the City Hall, you know, committee hearings on the internet. We don't really need a beat reporter here locally. I mean, you know, it's that extreme.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even for folks like firefighters, whose jobs are, you know, in no way vulnerable of being moved overseas anytime soon, they're still affected by the downward pressure on wages and benefits that all this offshoring causes. One study estimated that this is causing the majority of American households $2,500 a year in reduced wages and benefits. That's real money out of people's pockets. And it really is affecting all of us.
Yeah, I wonder if that's as well known a fact. You tell me that, I'm just shocked that this could be happening.
Yeah, I think most people know that these trade deals are a bad deal, whether they're aware of just how significant a role they are in Oregon's unemployment and just how a significant a factor they are in wage stagnation, I'm not sure.
Could you elaborate a little bit more about the jobs lost here in Oregon? How does that process kind of get started? How does that happen?
Sure. So one of the things that free trade agreements do is they remove tariffs. That's the taxes on goods as they cross borders. They also have all sorts of other provisions that make it, you know, easier for corporations to locate in a country that isn't their home base. And so what the free traders told us was going to happen when NAFTA was first being negotiated was that by removing these tariffs, we'd be able to sell our products more easily in other countries. And to a certain extent, that's been true. Our exports have increased under trade agreements. The problem is that our imports have increased at a dramatically faster rate.
Uh-huh.
So that some corporations, when, you know, have actually decided, larger ones, to physically move their production from Oregon to another country where workers are paid a lot less money, where environmental restrictions are fewer. And we can get into why workers are paid less money in other countries. Usually it's because, you know, of a lack of labor rights.
Right, no labor rights at all.
And very weak democracies. But that's sort of a side issue to this.
I don't know if naming names is a good thing, but I had a friend who once worked for Nike, and she was in some management part and traveled to Asia often. I'm remembering it was looking at the work that was being done over there for Nike. Is that the sort of thing that happens a lot?
Well, certainly. I mean, the textile jobs have been moving overseas for quite a while. But that, you know, that's the type of thing where jobs will move from Oregon to Mexico. Then we'll pass a trade pact with China. And because the Chinese are paid a lot less than the Mexicans, the jobs will move from Mexico to China. Now people are complaining that the Chinese are being paid too much and they're becoming too demanding. And so the jobs are moving from China to Vietnam. They call it a race to the bottom where, you know, really whoever is the most exploited is the one who gets the job. And it, you know, it's a process that's very, very bad for working people around the world. I mean, we try to, you know, drive home the point that this isn't Mexican workers or Chinese workers stealing American jobs. This is large corporations exploiting workers worldwide. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, our politicians continue to pass and support policies that enable them to do that more easily.
And what's it going to take? Education, I guess, for the voters, but it's probably more complicated than that.
Well, yeah, I mean, voters need to be educated, but they also need to be mobilized. It's, you know, I mentioned before, corporations are spending literally millions of dollars to promote these trade pacts with their lobbyists, you know, in Washington, D.C. And members of Congress, our senators, they need to be hearing from us often and loudly. And so one of the things we're actually doing today at the Labor Day picnic at Oaks Park Amusement Park is that we are collecting signatures on petitions to Senator Ron Wyden. Senator Wyden actually chairs the Senate Subcommittee on International Trade. So he plays a big role in determining what types of trade policies move forward and don't move forward. He, as of yet, still hasn't signed on to the Trade Act, which is the fair trade legislation that we've been pushing. So we're going to be collecting signatures on that. And if people are early enough, they could actually get a coupon for a free pint of Ben & Jerry's if they show up.
Oh, my. What time What time does this start today?
We'll be there basically all day from 9 to 5, more or less.
After you folks out there finish listening to our program, go get some of that Ben & Jerry's. Well, I know one of the things that I was looking at here that I think you had something to do with was the letter. The Korea Free Trade Agreement poses serious threat to state sovereignty. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
He's the target of the letter.
Oh, he's the target.
He's not a
Sorry.
Yeah. So the Korea Free Trade Agreement is a NAFTA model trade agreement, a business as usual trade agreement that was actually negotiated and signed by President Bush and his administration over 3 years ago. President Bush negotiated this deal with the government of South Korea. He signed it, but he was never able to get it passed through Congress. It's basically been sitting on a shelf ever since, until recently at the G20 meeting up in Toronto, when President Obama announced plans to push forward with this Korea trade deal after the November elections. So, you know, President Obama, who actually promised to the Oregon Fair Trade Campaign and voters throughout the country that he opposed the Korea FTA, is now moving forward with it as negotiated by President Bush. This is an exact 180 on President Obama's campaign promises. It would be, you know, set a very, very harmful precedent, but also have directly negative impacts in that this is the largest free trade agreement since NAFTA. South Korea has a very large economy, very developed economy in a lot of ways, in terms of semiconductors, in terms of green technology, sort of the jobs that we here in the Northwest are hoping for the future. Trade deal will hurt this region very, very hard.
Let me ask a question on that. The semiconductors and such, to create those kinds of products, the work environment is often toxic with chemicals, isn't it?
Yeah, that's my understanding. I mean, I'm not an expert in that in any way, but certainly there are big environmental concerns, you know, as well as labor concerns and that type of work.
Right. So South Korea is in a position now of being able to offer more to their trading partners, I guess.
If this trade deal passes, South Korea will be able to, you know, export to the U.S. much more easily, and we can expect to see, you know, all sorts of high tech jobs and green tech jobs displaced here in the Northwest. So it's a big problem. But that's presuming that this passes. And it's not too late to stop this agreement, remind President Obama of his campaign promises, and get him to, you know, to take a step back on this. I mean, one of the reasons why I believe, somewhat cynically, that he's doing this after the election is because he knows this would be political suicide. Voters are, you know, public opinion polls show by a 6-1 majority, American voters view free trade agreements as job killers rather than job creators. There's no way that any elected official, any sane one, would try to push this before an election. And so, you know, the timing of this is very suspect. They're going to try to do it immediately after the election. But if enough people may raise enough noise about this, we can still stop it. We can let them know, hey, we will remember this in 2012. This will hurt, potentially you, President Obama, potentially the party. Please, you know, take leadership from the majority of your party and take a step back.
Well, you know, our listeners are really activists. So what's the best direct way if people want to make phone calls or letters better?
People can go to our website, OregonFairTrade.org, and we have a whole online toolkit of different tools you can use in your community, you know, in your union local, in your faith group, just with your friends and neighbors, in terms of leaflets, talking points, fact sheets, online action alerts, all of that is up at OregonFairTrade.org. But the best thing people can do really is call Senator Wyden's office. I mentioned that he's the chair of the subcommittee that deals with international trade. We really need him to use his influence to get this trade deal moved off the table and a new model of trade moved forward.
Yes, so I guess his number is readily available, probably from your website as well.
Yeah, if you go to OregonFairTrade.org, that's right up there.
Okay, that's great. Well, I'm glad to know that it's not too late to try to get some things changed.
No, and I think one of the issues when it comes to international trade, like so many of the other issues that progressives care about, you know, the media is not going to raise this issue for us. I mean, besides KBOO, you know, the Oregonian, Fox News, they aren't covering this.
Uh-huh.
Republicans certainly aren't going to take the president to task over this. I mean, a number of Democratic members of Congress, 110, have written to the president and urged him to take a step back on this. But I think it's fair to say that most Democratic members of Congress aren't eager to call the president out on this very loudly and very publicly. It's up to us. I mean, it's up to labor unions. It's up to environmental groups. It's up to KBOO listeners to stop this. And we can. We can. You know, the president, frankly, hasn't been, you know, active like a George Bush or a Bill Clinton in promoting free trade agreements, you know, as the solution. We can get him to take a step back, but we need to let him know and his political advisors know that there'll be a cost associated with trying to advance the biggest free trade agreement since NAFTA in the middle of the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression.
Right, right. So activism, this is what we got to do now. We've got to get the message out. How are there any other organized groups besides yourself who would be supportive on this? I'm thinking of, well, you know, other rights groups, I guess I want
to
say.
Sure. I mean, all of organized labor is opposed to the Korea Free Trade Agreement. Most mainstream environmental groups have spoken out against this model of trade. Groups here in Portland like Alliance for Democracy, Jobs with Justice, even Portland Central America Solidarity Committee, you know, have been doing great work on trade policy. So there's, you know, there is a movement afoot. What we need to do is just get the word out more, keep the pressure up.
Keep the pressure up, yes.
One of the issues you raised earlier was this letter to Senator Wyden that was signed by a bipartisan group of Oregon state legislators. One of the things that the Korea Free Trade Agreement does, like some previous trade agreements, is it allows foreign corporations operating in the U.S. to challenge virtually any U.S. law, regulation, even court decision as a barrier to trade. And so in the past, these types of what are called investor-to-state provisions that allow individual corporations, investors, to challenge states, governments, have been used to attack food safety laws, environmental laws, toxic regulations. I mean, you know, you name it, a whole host of public interest laws. And Oregon's, you know, environmental laws, land use laws would be at serious jeopardy if this agreement were to move forward. Under the WTO, countries have a right to challenge other countries' laws as barriers to trade. But under free trade agreements, most of our free trade agreements, not all of them, individual companies have that right. Mm. And so you see a much greater number of challenges and a much, you know, frankly, sort of wacky challenges, because an individual corporation could stand to make millions where, you know, a government might not want that sort of diplomatic row over instigating a challenge. And one of the issues with South Korea is that, you know, unlike developing countries like Mexico or Costa Rica or El Salvador, South Korea actually does have investments in the United States. I mean, recently in Oregon, you know, South Korean firms have owned semiconductor plants, animal feed processors, all sorts of shipping companies. And if this deal were to move forward, those corporations would be given rights that U.S. corporations don't have, that U.S. citizens don't have, to challenge Oregon laws, U.S. laws, court decisions as barriers to trade, to initiate regulatory takings cases in international tribunals. And so this bipartisan group of Oregon legislators wrote to Senator Wyden as chairman of the trade subcommittee and urged him to strip these provisions from the trade deal, to use his influence to do that. And certainly there is a precedent for this. The Australia Free Trade Agreement, for instance, didn't have these investor-to-state provisions. And so Senator Wyden is considering that now, from what I've heard from his office.
Yeah, well, it sounds like something that he dug on, well, better consider. But so how did this happen that... It's because, I believe you said, because there are actually South Korean companies who are investing in right here in Oregon, mm-hmm. in jobs. So that sort of gives them a voice that they wouldn't otherwise be able to
use. Yeah, I mean, the justification that the free traders give is, you know, we want to make sure that foreign companies aren't being mistreated, you know, aren't being discriminated against. So we want to ensure that they have, you know, quote unquote, market access, and that they're treated equally. That sounds good on paper, but what often happens is that, you know, any sort of regulation, for the most part, limits market access. If you put a food safety regulation in place, you're blocking market access to a product that doesn't meet that regulation. If you put a land use regulation in place, you're blocking someone's ability to access a market in a certain area. And so we've seen all sorts of challenges. One of the big challenges that's going on right now in El Salvador is around the Pacific Rim gold mine, where people in El Salvador, you know, saw this mine proposal. They knew that it was going to draw down water supplies and then put cyanide back in the water that was left. And people organized a multi-year campaign to stop this. The government refused to give the gold mining company a permit. People had won. It was a wonderful victory. And then what did the gold mine do? They issued a challenge under CAFTA's investment provisions, which are virtually identical to the ones in this Korea FTA, saying, you know, this is a barrier to trade. You're violating our market access. You must give us that gold mining permit. And so now El Salvador is facing a $100 million claim in a CAFTA tribunal, a tiny country, very, yes, very small budget. And they're faced with fighting this. And, you know, if they lose, it's going to set a horrible precedent for any sort of anti-mining environmental restrictions. And this is just the example of what's coming to the U.S. if the Korea FTA moves forward.
Whoa, I'm still stuck back at those poor people who are fighting it. And the U.S. obviously is not going to help them, is not going to intervene in this gold mine thing.
No, to the contrary. I mean, the gold mining firm that's doing this, Pacific Rim Mining, is actually a Canadian firm. Canada isn't a party to CAFTA, just the U.S. and Central American nations. But because they have a subsidiary in the United States, basically a P.O. box in Nevada, they're able to use the U.S. pact to launch this attack on the people of El Salvador. And, you know, I mean, this type of thing is really atrocious. And in the past, it's primarily been used to attack the laws of developing countries by large transnational corporations. But if this trade deal moves forward, we're going to see more and more attacks of U.S. laws. Certainly U.S. laws have been attacked in the past under free trade agreements, but this is just going to increase that.
We're talking with Arthur Stamoulis.
Yes.
Arthur Stamoulis, who's the director of Oregon Fair Trade Campaign this Labor Day morning. And unfortunately, callers are not going to be able to call in because this is being recorded right now. But we do want to make sure that we have a pretty good understanding of all this. And Arthur, I really appreciate the time you're taking with us, because this is a lot of this stuff is just making my eyes boggle. I think I pay attention to the news, but there's a lot happening that I certainly don't know on this front. So I want to make sure listeners get all they can get from you this morning. And are there other issues that we as voters should be paying attention to? Are there other things we need to know that are happening out there now or proposed to happen?
Yeah. So, I mean, with the Korea Free Trade Agreement, we talked about the impact on job loss that's expected.
Mm-hmm.
Even the U.S. International Trade Commission, which is a federal agency that has historically always overestimated the potential benefits of trade pacts, says that the Korea Free Trade Agreement is going to increase the U.S. trade deficit. The Economic Policy Institute, which is a more labor-friendly think tank in Washington, they estimate that should this deal move forward, within 7 years, South Korean imports will displace 888,000 American jobs. So we're talking about massive job loss. Even with new jobs created with, you know, some increase in exports, we're talking about thousands of job losses here in Oregon. So that's one big piece of this puzzle. The second big piece is these investor-to-state provisions, where Korean companies will now be given rights to challenge Oregon laws, you know, regulations, court decisions as barriers to trade. And the third piece about this has to do with financial regulations. This trade agreement was negotiated, as I mentioned, 3 years ago by the Bush administration before the economic crisis. And it has all sorts of goodies for Wall Street in there that were ridiculous when it was negotiated and, you know, downright offensive now after the economic crisis. Limits on the size of banks are forbidden under this trade agreement. Limits on the sale of risky derivatives are forbidden under this trade agreement. Capital controls, which South Korea has used very effectively in past crises to you know, prevent money from being zipped around the world in seconds during times of crisis, you know, capital flight, those are forbidden under this trade agreement. So this is just one more area where this old model, you know, sort of Clinton-Bush style trade agreement is just, you know, we know it's wrong. We've seen the track record of these trade deals. We've seen what they've done to our economy, not to mention our environment. And we really need to stop this. So that, you know, that's one area. I'll mention something else. So this is a leftover trade agreement that for some reason President Obama has decided to move forward with.
Do you have any speculation on why he would? I mean,
well, you know, I do. And again, this is speculation, but
I think,
you know, President Obama is being hit very hard right now by the Chamber of Commerce, by other business lobbies. He needs their money in 2012 for his election. And I think he wants to show them that he can deliver part of their agenda that the Republicans couldn't. And as I said, you know, the media isn't going to hold him accountable. You know, other members of Congress aren't going to hold him accountable. Other politicians aren't going to call him out on it. It's really up to us. And he's making the calculated risk that if he does this soon enough, you know, after this election, before the next one, that people won't remember. Mm. And we need to convince him otherwise.
Yeah. So what kind of strategies should we be using? I mean, letters to our local guy, of course.
Yeah. So, I mean, Senator Wyden, you know, because of his committee position, you know, plays a special role in this and any trade policy debate.
Yeah.
If folks go to our toolkit at OregonFairTrade.org, you know, we have talking points, we have fact sheets that address different issues, the job loss issue, the environmental issue, the state sovereignty issue, so that you can educate yourself and then go out and educate your community about this. Because this is, you know, we need to do this grassroots style, unfortunately. You know, I really appreciate the time on KABU. No one's getting this time, you know, on Fox or ABC or NBC.
Yeah.
You know, the Oregonian isn't really covering this. So we need to do it old-fashioned style by actually talking to our neighbors, by talking to our coworkers, by talking to people at our churches and synagogues and temples. And so, you know, the resources are there to do that. And then we need to urge people to get the word out that they really do need to call Senator Wyden and other members of Congress and mm-hmm. let them know that this is absolutely ridiculous and that we want them to fight it.
And over in Washington, too.
Well, you know, everyone in Washington State, unfortunately, members of Congress are bad on trade. We've got the new election for Mr. Baird's seat, and hopefully we'll get someone better in there. But Washington State's entire delegation could use work on trade policy, unfortunately.
Okay, you listeners out there in Washington, get going on educating the people who want to represent us. Well, this has been a great conversation. I certainly have been educated by it because this is not my strong suit, but this is something that affects us all. And I'm just really glad that you could come here today. I was just looking at a piece here that says the AFL-CIO strongly opposes CORUS, and CORUS is the
Korea-U.S. Free Trade Agreement.
Yeah, yeah. Korea-U.S. trade agreement. So that's something that, you know, I might not always have been paying attention to, but thanks to talking with you, I'm certainly going to pay attention when I see those letters, Korea-U.S. trade agreement. So we have been talking with Arthur Stamoulis, director of Oregon Fair Trade Campaign. Unfortunately, this part of our program has been pre-recorded, so you can't ask him any questions, but I imagine that listeners who would like further information or something that we haven't covered would be able to call your office or, as you said, better yet, access your website. So would you give that website
name
again?
Sure. The website is OregonFairTrade.org. The phone number is 503-736-9777. And if you're listening to this on Labor Day between 9 and 5, come see me at Oaks Park for the AFL-CIO's Labor Day picnic.
Oh, that sounds great. Thanks so much.
Thank you.